Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knitter ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Eine Barra ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
We must not allow ourselves to be intimidated. Our task is not only to win the battle, but to win the war.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something. You'll see the whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting.
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone.
Seeking truth and justice in a battleground of deception and corruption, this is The Richard Serrett Show.
Welcome to The Richard Serrett Show for Friday, June the 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. Canada is plunging into an abyss of moral desolation. A nation seduced by a culture of death so grotesque, it reverberates across the globe as a warning. The Daily Mail, a voice from Britain's shores, has exposed our national disgrace through the anguished testimony of Roger Foley, a 49-year-old Canadian, essentially imprisoned for 9 years in the London Health Sciences Center in Ontario, where caregivers hound him to end his life with a lethal injection. This is not mercy. It's a calculated cruelty, a chilling emblem of a society so spiritually bankrupt it courts divine retribution. Roger Foley's story is not a solitary cry. It is a thunderous indictment of a Canada that has abandoned the sanctity of life for a nihilistic obsession with death. Foley, once a driven e-commerce director at the Royal Bank of Canada, now wrestles with spinocerebellar ataxia, an incurable brain disease that strips him of mobility, leaving him dependent on others to eat, drink, or take medication. Confined to a hospital room since 2016 after food poisoning landed him there, following neglect by state-funded at-home caregivers who dragged him across floors and crashed him into walls. Roger Foley is enduring a living hell. Last month, the hospital replaced the soft amber lights that eased his light-sensitive condition with harsh blue bulbs, plunging him into pain so severe he can't be lifted to eat. Since May 6th, he's survived on a drip, his veins collapsing under the strain, his body now at risk of heart attack, infection, or blood clots. He told the Daily Mail, "They know my body can only last so long without food, medicine, and water. And they know my eyes can't tolerate the light. They'd be more than happy if I died of a heart attack." Imagine. And yet the true horror lies not in the physical torment, but in the relentless psychological assault. Caregivers, according to Roger, routinely probe him with questions like, "Are you suicidal?" A prelude to discussions of euthanasia under Canada's Medical Assistance in Dying program, or MAID. "They're just throwing that bait," he said, refusing to engage, knowing the path it leads to. He calls this a regime that is cruel, desensitized, and out for blood. Roger dreams of escaping to his one-bedroom apartment in Highbury, where he could compose music, use his accessible gym and shower, and spend time with his mother, two brothers, and niece. He longs to celebrate his 50th birthday in September as a free man, not a captive of a system that seems to wish him dead. But Ontario Health denies him self-directed care, the right to choose his own caregivers, a rarity in our tax-funded healthcare system, forcing him to remain in a hospital that feels like a death sentence. Roger's fight has led him to sue the hospital, health officials, and others, a $20 million lawsuit launched in 2018, alleging staff pressured him toward MAID, medical assistance in dying, and denied him adequate care. The case was dismissed by the Ontario Superior Court in January 2024, leaving him without recourse. He's raised nearly $3,000 through an online fundraiser to continue his legal battle, armed with documents and audio recordings, including emails from medical professionals supporting his plea for self-directed care. Yet, the hospital and Ontario Health remain silent, constrained by patient confidentiality and offering no defense against his claims. Canada. How did we arrive at this precipice? MAID. Legalized in 2016 for adults with serious terminal conditions, was expanded in 2021 to include those with non-terminal illnesses or disabilities. Today, any adult with a serious condition can seek death, no questions asked. The result? A staggering 15,300 Canadians died by euthanasia in 2023. Accounting for 4.7% of all deaths, 1 in 20. This is not a fringe program. It is a national obsession. And now, get this, the fourth leading cause of death after cancer, heart disease, and accidents. Two-thirds of MAID recipients are cancer patients. But heart, respiratory, and brain conditions, like Roger's, are common drivers. The average recipient is 77. But stories like Roger's reveal a darker truth. The disabled, the poor, and the marginalized are disproportionately vulnerable. The campaign group Dying with Dignity claims MAID is driven by compassion, an end to suffering and discrimination, and desire for personal autonomy. But critics, including the United Nations, warn that Canada's lax regulations devalue the lives of the disabled, fostering a social assumption that it is better to be dead than to live with a disability. Tristan Hopper, in an August 15th National Post article titled Canada is Getting Comfortable with Killing Its Disabled, chronicles this moral slide. He cites Roger's case, where a medical ethicist reportedly raised euthanasia after noting his care cost north of $1,500 a day, as captured in secretly recorded audio. Roger had never expressed interest in MAID, but staff persisted, prompting him to record their prodding. Hopper's article unearths other tragedies. Sophia, a 51-year-old Toronto woman with multiple chemical sensitivities, chose MAID because she couldn't afford a home free of smoke or chemical cleaners. Denise, 31, also from Toronto, sought death due to abject poverty that left her unable to manage her chronic conditions. Alan Nichols, a severely depressed man from British Columbia, was euthanized after a psychiatric episode. A Johns Hopkins psychiatrist argues Canada's law will provide, not prevent, suicide for some psychiatric patients. And these are not isolated cases, but threads in a tapestry of death woven by a nation that has lost its moral compass. In places like Vancouver Island, MAID accounts for 7.5% of deaths. Since 2016, over 75,500 Canadians have died this way. Euthanasia is legal in only 7 countries: Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, New Zealand, and Spain. But Canada's program is uniquely aggressive, outpacing even the Netherlands in its zeal. Critics argue our safeguards are paper thin, allowing caregivers to suggest death to those who might not otherwise consider it, as Roger's experience attests. This is not progress. It is regression to the darkest epochs of human history. The philosopher G.K. Chesterton warned, "When men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything." Canada has abandoned the Christian principle that every life is sacred, created in God's image, and in its place, we worship autonomy, a false idol that demands the blood of the vulnerable. Scripture is unequivocal. "You shall not murder," Exodus 20:13. Yet we have enshrined murder in law, cloaking it in the language of choice. Isaiah's rebuke echoes, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. We are under that woe. Our culture rotting with a nihilism that deems the disabled and poor unworthy of life. When we pressure Roger Foley toward death, when we tell the disabled their lives are a burden, we betray Canada's soul. This is not the nation of our forebears, who built a land on faith, family, and freedom. This is a Canada adrift, inviting a judgment we cannot escape. The world watches. France, Britain, and American states like New York and Illinois now flirt with their own euthanasia programs, citing our example. Will they follow us into this moral quagmire? As a Christian, a conservative, a Canadian, I will not stand silent. Roger Foley's fight is our fight. We must demand accountability from our healthcare system, reform made to protect the vulnerable and restore the sanctity of life as our guiding star. We must pray for revival, for a return to the values that once made us strong. We must rise to defend the weak, to honor the sacred, to reject this culture of death. Roger Foley fights for his life with his last breath. Will we fight with him? Or will we stand complicit in a tragedy that will stain our history forever? The hour is late, Canada. God help us.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn. Und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Welcome back to the Richard Serrett Show. Chaos abroad, chaos at home, and the courage to call it out. Here's your big picture commentary from a Canadian Christian conservative who's tired of being lied to. Let's get started. Story number one, Israel's strike on Iran, a line in the sand. So early this morning, Friday, 2 a.m., Tehran time, Israel's Air Force unleashed a thunderous assault with over 200 jets pounding Iran's nuclear facilities, missile production sites, and the residence of Hossein Salami, the swaggering commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. By dawn, Iran's nuclear ambitions lay in ruins, its uranium and enrichment halls reduced to rubble, and key military figures, including Salami, were no more. Israel dubbed it Operation Rising Lion. For Iranians on the ground, it was a day of reckoning. So why now? Well, Iran ignored U.S. President Donald Trump's 60-day ultimatum to halt its nuclear program. Iran was betting that America would be paralyzed. They misjudged. Israel doesn't wait for permission slips from the UN or hand-wringing diplomats. Trump's response was vintage. Make a deal before there is nothing left, he posted, in all caps, unapologetic and clear. Critics at CNN howl about warmongering, but this isn't cheerleading. It's reality. Tyrants like Iran's mullahs don't negotiate with soft words. They bow to strength. Psalm 33, verse 10 declares, "The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations." Israel, with American backing, just delivered divine frustration on a grand scale. So let's be clear. Iran's regime chose this path. For decades, they've prioritized ballistic missiles and martyrdom rhetoric over feeding their own people. Their nuclear program wasn't about energy, it was about power, a threat to Israel, the West, and the world. Israel's preemptive strike wasn't reckless. It was surgical, targeting the heart of a regime that dreams of apocalypse. The Daily Mail called it devastating, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned the offensive could continue for weeks. This isn't a skirmish. It's a turning point. Now, as a Canadian, I'm appalled at our government's response, a limp murmur about both sides. We fail to grasp that evil doesn't negotiate. It must be confronted. Our leader's silence is cowardice, a betrayal of allies like Israel and the U.S. who stand firm. History is unforgiving. Appeasement is just a fancy word for surrender with a higher body count. Canada must back strength, not equivocation. Iran's collapse could stabilize the Middle East, or ignite it. Ottawa's job isn't to wring its hands, but to stand with those who act to prevent catastrophe. Anything else is a dereliction of duty. Story 2. Theresa Tam's exit, a legacy of division and distrust. Dr. Theresa Tam, Canada's chief public health officer, is stepping down as of June 20th, and it's hard to overstate the damage she leaves behind. Her eight-year tenure, particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic, was a masterclass in mismanagement, contradiction, and overreach. She wasn't a steady hand. She was a wrecking ball, dismantling public trust with every flip-flop and mandate. Let's rewind to 2020. Tam dismissed border closures as xenophobic, downplayed human-to-human transmission, and assured Canadians the risk was low. Masks, unnecessary, even dangerous, she said in January. By April, they were optional. By July, mandatory, down to the absurd suggestion to wear them during sex and to avoid kissing. Churches were padlocked, weddings canceled, families divided, yet liquor stores and big-box retailers operated without a hitch. ArriveCan, a $54 million digital leash, tracked travelers like parolees, with fines over $1,000 for non-compliance. Vaccine passports, which Tam admitted lacked evidence to stop the virus, turned unvaccinated Canadians into pariahs. All this while she pocketed a $324,000 salary, boosted by Trudeau's cabinet in 2022. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2 warns that when the wicked rule, the people groan. Canadians didn't just groan, they rebelled. The Freedom Convoy of 2022 wasn't just trucks and horns. It was a cry from a nation fed up with arbitrary rules and eroded freedoms. Tam's response to the trust she shattered? Blame social media. Not her own contradictions, not the government's heavy hand, but the people's refusal to obey blindly. The result? Public health credibility lies in tatters. A February 2025 report noted declining measles vaccination rates, a direct consequence of parents' skepticism towards a system that betrayed them. Tam calls her tenure a privilege. Well, the real privilege was ours, enduring her policies while she dodged accountability. Who approved ArriveCan's bloated budget? Why were billions in rapid test kits left to expire in warehouses? Why did she push gender-neutral terms like pregnant people, alienating half the population? Parliament must subpoena every email, every memo, every consultant's invoice. Without answers, Canada's civic fabric, torn by division and distrust, cannot heal. Tam's exit is a start, but only a full reckoning will restore faith in our institutions.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem, mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
Ah, da ist meine Prime-Bestellung.
Was? Jetzt schon?
Nur eine Sache begeistert so wie die schnelle Lieferung mit Prime. Und zwar das tolle Unterhaltungsangebot von Prime.
Was schauen wir uns an?
Fallout ist zurück mit Staffel 2. Unsere Lieblingshelden kämpfen sich durch die brutale und bizarre Einöde, um dahin zu gelangen, wo alles begann. New Vegas.
Schnelle, kostenlose Lieferung, geniale Unterhaltung und mehr gibt's bei Prime. Für nur 8,99 Euro pro Monat. Werde jetzt Prime-Mitglied. Die Inhalte können Werbung enthalten. Fortlaufende Mitgliedschaft. Mehr auf amazon.de/prime.
Story 3. Durham's Folly. Taxpayers fund ideological indoctrination. In Ontario's Durham District School Board, $693,250 of taxpayer money has been squandered on anti-racism consultants, with $442,230 going to Nicole West Burns for her Critically Conscious Practitioner Inquiry Program. This isn't education. It's critical race theory, a divisive ideology that paints whiteness as the root of all evil, from classroom lessons to school policies. Teachers are taught to see oppression in multiplication tables and colonial trauma in classical music. The result? No measurable improvement in student outcomes, just invoices and buzzwords. Freedom of information requests uncovered this spending, but the board buries it under professional development, shielding smaller contracts from scrutiny. The Ontario Ministry of Education, through its Equity Secretariat, funds similar programs pushing culturally responsive and relevant pedagogy, code for the same ideology. Minister Paul Calandra's Bill 33 promises to rein in ideological spending, but his own ministry mandates it. This is bureaucratic hypocrisy at its worst, a system that launders tax dollars for grievance peddlers while claiming to serve students. Parents, it's time to act. Demand proof these programs work. Test scores, attendance, disciplinary records. If they can't deliver, defund them. If the board resists, litigate. Your taxes pay for education, not indoctrination. Durham spending is a symptom of a deeper rot, where ideology trumps truth. It's time to rip it out, root and branch, and return our schools to teaching facts, not feelings. Story number 4. General Motors U-turn. Gas triumphs over green delusion. General Motors has scrapped its 2035 all-electric vehicle pledge, redirecting $4 billion to gasoline-powered cars, including V8s, and moving production from Mexico to the U.S. to dodge Donald Trump's 25% tariffs. They're investing $888 million in a New York engine plant and $579 million in a Michigan facility. Publicly, GM CEO Mary Barra still claims EVs are the future. Privately, they're hiring engineers to build the gas-powered trucks and SUVs consumers actually want. This isn't a pivot. It's a reality check. Families look at a $74,000 electric Hummer, its $20,000 battery replacement cost, and its spotty winter range, and they take a hard pass. Trump's rollback of Biden's EV subsidies and California's mandate, coupled with cooling consumer demand, forced GM's hand. Plants like Factory Zero in Detroit, meant for electric Silverados, sit half idle. Meanwhile, GM lobbied to overturn California's EV rules while preaching green virtues. Hypocrisy? Sure. But it's also a sign the market is winning. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge." Well, GM saw the economic cliff and swerved. Canada's Liberals, by contrast, are flooring the gas toward disaster, pouring billions into battery plants and vowing to ban gas vehicles by 2035. This isn't vision, it's dogma, blind to the needs of working-class Canadians who rely on affordable cars to live. Ottawa must learn from Detroit, prioritize people over ideology. GM's retreat is a victory for common sense, a reminder that markets, not mandates, drive progress. Let's hope our leaders wake up before we're all priced out of the driver's seat. Story number 5. LA riots, open borders breed chaos. For 6 nights, Los Angeles has been a battleground. Anti-ICE riots smashed windows, torched police cars, and rioters armed with bionic face shields to deflect tear gas have paralyzed the city. Alejandro Orellana, a Brown Berets activist and former Marine, was arrested for distributing the shields, bought with crowd-funded crypto to disrupt deportations. The Brown Berets, a paramilitary group, trained with far-left radicals to sow chaos. This isn't protest, it's insurrection. Biden's open border policies, which saw 2.7 million illegal crossings last year alone, set the stage. Shelters overflowed, city budgets buckled, and radicals like the Brown Berets thrived. Trump's response is decisive. Arrests, seized gear, and charges. Romans chapter 13, 4 reminds us the state does not bear the sword in vain. Trump's reinstating Remain in Mexico and deportation shows what leadership looks like. Law over chaos. From Iran's ruins to LA's riots, from Tam's exit to Durham's waste, we see the cost of weak leadership and warped priorities. So, keep hammering. Write your MP. Show up at the school board. Buy the gas truck if you need one. Donate to Israel's hospitals if you feel led. And above all, remember, history's arc doesn't bend toward justice on autopilot. It bends when free citizens, armed with faith and facts, grab the blasted thing with both hands and yank. I'm Richard Serrett. I'll speak to you again soon, God willing. In the meantime, I remain unbowed, unbent, unbroken.